Capistrano Unified School District Special Meeting, May 26, 2009. It's 5 o'clock. I'm calling to order. Trustee Christensen, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board consideration and adoption of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve? I'll make a motion. Second.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Brick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Zero. Roll call, please, Ms. Pose.
President Adonisio.
Here.
Trustee Winston.
Here.
Trustee Christensen.
Here.
Trustee Brick.
Here.
Trustee Bryson.
Here.
Trustee Lopez Maddox. Trustee Palazzo.
Here. Thank you. We have special recognitions. Ms. Hatchell.
Good evening, President Adonisio and members of the board. On Friday of this week, four of the Capistrano Unified School District's middle schools will receive the honor of being named 2009 California Distinguished Schools. Aliso Viejo, Arroyo Vista, Bernice Eyre, and Las Flores Middle Schools joined 261 others statewide that received this honor, placing them in the top 10% of California's 2,400 middle schools and high schools. California Distinguished Schools must meet the challenge of providing all students students with a rigorous education and are held accountable for demonstrating growth of closing the achievement gap for all students in all subject areas as measured by the STAR system. The schools serve as a model of instructional effectiveness and best practices of others in the state. Peggy Swanson, principal of Aliso Viejo Middle School, notes that the staff, students, and parents of AVMS are deserving of this honorable recognition. In a culture of changing times and meeting new challenges, it is refreshing to see that through dedication and teamwork, the AVMS educational program is strong as a result of the students' and teachers' success. Mrs. Swanson, will you please come forward to accept your award on behalf of Aliso Viejo Middle School? Is there anything you'd like to say? Or?
Like my statement you already read, and I'd also, over the years, this is my 10th year in Aliso Viejo, and, the staff has been outstanding. Mike Marzulli is assistant principal, is just awesome. But also the district support, specifically Shereen Smith, Caroline, Leona, and Donovan, have been our direct leaders for middle school and secondary school for years, and, we can't continue to support them.
California Distinguished School Award comes as the first in the history of Arroyo Vista Middle School, which was established as part of a K-8 school during the 2004-2005 school year. The school's first 8th grade class was promoted to high school in 2007, and this was the first year that they were able to apply for this distinction. Principal Tim Brooks admits that the partnership between staff, students, and parents at Arroyo Vista are what makes this school so successful. At Arroyo Vista, they educate and care for kids, and this is a welcome recognition of their fundamental mission. Mr. Brooks, will you please come forward and accept this award on behalf of the Arroyo Vista staff?
Well, just thank you on behalf of the students, the staff, and the community of Arroyo Vista. We're very honored to earn this award, and we look forward to the celebration Friday night.
Bernice Air Middle School in San Clemente learned that they had received the honor of being named a California Distinguished School for the second time since opening in 1998. Like the other principals of CUSD Distinguished Schools, Dr. Cheryl Bond credits the teamwork of BAM's talented staff, students, and parents with this achievement and admits that we work together to ensure that all children learn. We are especially proud of the achievement of our Hispanic and socioeconomically disadvantaged student subgroups whose test scores have grown steadily over the past decade. Dr. Bond, will you please come forward to accept this award on behalf of the BAMS community?
Well, on behalf of the staff, students, and the whole community of Bernice Air, I want to thank the board for this recognition. And it is special to be recognized, in particular, because of the closing the achievement gap. The qualifications that a school needed to have this year in order to apply is a statement in itself, and I'm really, really proud of those subgroups as was mentioned, and I'm very proud of our staff for achieving.
Recognized as the heart of the Las Flores community, Las Flores Middle School Principal Shannon Soto notes that the LFMS is truly committed to building excellence in all subject areas and developing the middle school student. The strength of the PTA combined with a stellar teaching staff has led to the success. Mrs. Soto notes that the school dedicates itself wholeheartedly to student learning on a daily basis and recognizes that high achievement always takes place in the framework of high expectations. Mrs. Soto, will you please come forward to accept this award on behalf of Las Flores Middle School.
I would like to thank everybody for being here and helping us with this special award. And also, I think this was truly a reflection of some past amazing principals, such as Anna Donovan and Holly Belgium, people out there with their strength, their leadership. And just the staff itself, Las Flores would not be the stellar school it is. And I also like to thank my two assistant principals tonight. I'm going to be there and listen to our offer being here with my students. And she'll work. Thank you.
congratulations once again to all of our California Distinguished Schools. We applaud you on your accomplishments, and thank you for your outstanding representation of CUSD. Last month, CUSD was thrilled to be the recipient of the news that Jesus Martinez from Shore Cliffs Middle School and Adriana Martinez from New Hart Middle School were recognized as AVID standout recipients at the Orange County Department of Ed's award ceremony held at the Angel Stadium. Will you two please come forward? A total of 57 Orange County middle schools and over 1,200 eighth grade students competed for this award. Each school was allowed to select their own AVID standout students. And by student application, a total of 13 finalists were selected and then interviewed by the Orange County Department of Ed. And in all, five students were selected to receive this prestigious award, two of the five coming from Capistrano Unified Schools. In front of their peers, these students were recognized, and each will receive a $4,000 scholarship upon graduation from high school. Jesus, is there anyone with you here this evening that you'd like to introduce to us?
Yeah, my brother, and I'd just like to thank my principal's support and my teachers because they helped me out a lot.
Thank you very much. And Adriana, is there anyone with you tonight that you'd like to introduce?
I would like to thank my family for always supporting me, and Mr. Knight and myself for always supporting me throughout.
Congratulations. We look forward to hearing about the four-year universities, hopefully Cal Berkeley, for you. And Jesus, any ideas of where you'd like to go? UCI. 4 years. We want a report. Congratulations. Thank you.
At this point, we begin our open session items. Item number one is the interview with the superintendent search firm. The first group to come forward will be Hazard Young Atiyah and Associates, Mr. William Atiyah. Welcome. Yes. Welcome. We welcome your 10-minute presentation.
Thank you very much.
And
we'll try to be very brief and just introduce ourselves very quickly. I'm Bill Atiyah. I am one of the founders of our firm that was founded back in 1987, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. Doyle Valdez. Doyle is the immediate past president of the Austin City School District in Austin, Texas, and a school district that we had the good fortune of serving about 10 years ago, and since then he has been assisting us. Next to Doyle is Carolyn McKinnon. Carolyn is an experienced school superintendent in the state of California. And next to Carolyn is Bud Marley. Bud also is an experienced superintendent in the state of California. You do have resumes for me, Doyle, and Carolyn, but you do not for Bud, and Bud's going to take about 2 minutes just to share with you his experiences.
I was in New Mexico, where I began my career in the 50s. Came to California in 1960, and so since 1960 I've been in mostly in Southern California. I was assistant superintendent for many years in Riverside City. I was superintendent in Ojai. Those of you that follow tennis know Ojai. I was superintendent then for a number of years in the Las Virgenes School District. That's everything between Los Angeles City and Thousand Oaks. I did a couple of stints as interim following my retirement in 1995. One, the large high school district, Salinas Union High School District in Monterey County, and also in Simi Valley Unified School District. I've worked with Bill, I guess, since the first search done in California, which was Palo Alto, I believe, Bill.
Correct.
And enjoy very much continuing to be involved with the guys and gals that I have known over these nearly 50 years.
Thank you. Bud mentioned our first search back in 1996. We've been working in California now for over 12 years, close to 13 years, and we've had the good fortune of assisting over 40 school boards in California in the selection of their superintendents. We ran through the 40 districts at lunchtime. Of those 40 districts, 30 of the superintendents still are in place in the schools for which they were hired. 5 have retired, and only 5 have moved on. And we think that says a little bit about who we are and what we do. We did get a request for a follow-up to our proposal. We estimate about 85% of the 700-plus superintendents that were hired with our assistance since 1987 are still in place in the school districts in which they were hired or have retired from those positions. And that is a track record that we envy and which no one can match. And we're very proud of it. But we think there's a reason for it, and that's what we want to do is tell you a little bit about our firm. We were started back in 1987 over lunch table. At that time, there was nobody in the field really doing superintendent searches as a science. People were doing it, as college professors, pretty much from their back pocket, from their homes, etc. And we said, there's no quality to the searches that were being done. At that time, I was a superintendent in suburban Chicago, a high-performing suburban school district. Charles Young was a superintendent in Glencoe. Rod Bickert in New Trier, and Bill Hazard was a professor at Northwestern University. Bill had been doing searches for about 20 years as a college professor and occasionally brought us in. And we were critiquing his searches, and we said, what we really need is someone that's going to dedicate themselves and establish a firm that is going to be dedicated to service and serving school districts, to thoroughness and crossing the T's and dotting the I's in searches and providing quality service. And that year we had the good fortune when we started to serve 6 primarily suburban school districts, most of them high performing. And from 1987 to about 1993, that was our forte, high performing suburban school districts. In 1993, we were asked to help the St. Louis Public Schools in their search. And we did that search, and we're very happy to say the superintendent stayed there 9 years after he was selected, which is unheard of in large urban districts. Since then, we've had the opportunity, roughly 20% of our searches have been in school districts of 50,000 or more students. That's about 150 searches that we have done in that bailiwick. And we found that our track record continues to be the same. And that's because we customize each search to the school district in which we serve. The best superintendent in the world could be the inappropriate superintendent for Capistrano. What you need to do working with your search firm and working with your community, identify what the needs are at present and the needs as you go into the future. We like to know when we do a search, we'd like to ask each of you and your stakeholders, what do you value in the Capistrano Unified School District? What are the challenges? What are the issues? What are the things that Capistrano needs to face not only today, but into the next 5 to 10 years? Because you can find a superintendent that can address today's needs and not address future needs. And then we'd like to ask you, what are the personal and professional characteristics you want to see in a superintendent? And then we go out and seek the candidates that fit your criteria. We don't just wait for people to apply. Approximately 80% of the superintendents that are hired with our assistance are people that were sought for the position rather than people who apply. And that has been the trademark of our success. Service, thoroughness, quality, but also customizing the search and going after the people that a district needs just rather than just waiting for them to apply. We built our firm on 3 types of people. Active superintendents that we look to as counsel. Retired superintendents who really do the bulk of the work, and college professors who know what's coming into the life stream of the superintendency, and college superintendents tend to follow the careers of their advisees throughout their entire careers. And so it's really very easy to contact a college professor and say, tell me about Bill Attia. And he'll talk about the green behind the ears young man who came into his office and said, you know, I love teaching, but I really don't know what the next step is going to be. And he'll tell you about how I came out to the university, a graduate student, Ford Foundation Fellow, et cetera, into administration, into my career as a superintendent and consultant. That's important to know very quickly, because what we need to know is, tell us about these individuals, what they've done, where their strengths are, and where their weaknesses are, because no one is perfect. And we've now built that network into about 140 associates across the country. We still have the bulk of them retired superintendents, such as Bud Carroll and myself. We have now are associated with about 15 to 17 colleges and universities across the country, from Columbia University in New York City to the University of San Diego. And we have about 15 active superintendents that are, so to speak, of council associates of ours. And as I mentioned that, I want to be very clear up front that one of the individuals who is a neighboring superintendent, Dennis Smith, whom some of you know quite well, is listed as an associate of our school, of our organization. Dennis has not done any work with us for the past 3 or 4 years. Dennis, I did talk to Dennis, and he will be excluded from any contact with the search if this board should choose us to be your consultants for this search. That's a little bit about us. We really want to give you as much time as possible to ask us questions, and we'd like to take the prerogative of maybe taking the last 5 minutes to share with you things that may not come up in your questions, but we're more interested in answering your questions than having you hear from us. So,
questions by anyone? Trustee Bryson.
I'm very interested in the fact that you said you were thorough and that you ask people perhaps to fill our position who have not really applied or put themselves out in the arena. In the process of being thorough, do you look into the background problems that people have had? For example, do you look into Brown Act problems? Do you look to see if they are really well-versed in the complications that we may face here moving forward, where we need to streamline and be very open and clear about things? And we definitely don't want someone who has had these problems in the past. And we've had things come up after the fact that we certainly don't want to confront again. So is it possible that what is your methodology that you think you would say thorough about yourself? I mean, how does that come about?
Well, number one, first of all, the minute we identify a candidate, we like to triangulate. And with your permission, we generally start building that pool when we come to meet with each of you, with your stakeholders. With your permission, it's your search during that initial planning meeting, which I didn't go over the flowchart, but I'll be happy to go over the flowchart. But the very first thing we're going to do if we're hired is come back and spend about 2 to 3 hours planning the entire search. We're going to talk about whom you would like us to meet with to ask those questions of. What do you value? What are your challenges, your issues, your concerns? What type of characteristics would you like to see? One of the things we do require is an individual meeting with the seven of you to ask those questions. Beyond that, we're ready to meet with teachers, with parents, with community leaders, with the Chamber of Commerce. You identify. We schedule 4 full days in the district so that we have an opportunity to meet with 20, 30, 40 different groups or individuals that you identify. We'd like to ask all of those groups, including yourself, is there anyone you think would be an ideal superintendent for this district? And then we'd like to follow up with, why do you think so? Now, from all of that matter, the material we gather, we're going to prepare a report for you called the Leadership Profile Report, where we're going to say consistently, this is what your stakeholders and board members said you value. Consistently, these are the concerns, challenges, issues. Consistently, this is what people would like to see. And working with you, you're going to establish criteria for us to follow. Those criteria are going to be the driver behind our search and behind our most thorough checking out. Now, if somebody recommended Anna Bryson, for instance, what we'd like to do almost immediately is triangulate. We'd like to get three different perspectives from former superintendents, former board members, employers, colleagues, employers, subordinates, parents, stakeholders, college professors. If we get three wows, he or she would really be a great person for Capistrano. That's someone that goes up on our tick list to really more aggressively recruit. If we get, where did you get that name from? You know, totally, then we may send them a letter and say you were nominated, but we wouldn't. So what we'd like to do is immediately start identifying that talented pool and aggressively start recruiting those people. Those people will be vetted very strongly against what you as a board say are your criteria, your concerns, your needs. Now, can something slip through? I would lie to you if I said that we never had a surprise. Human beings, being as they are, you may have surprises. However, we do like to talk to all of their previous employers for the last 10 to 15 years. We do a credit check. We do a driving record check. We do a court check in all of the state, county, and federal courts. We do, let's see, a newspaper check, a LexisNexis newspaper search. We try to be as thorough as possible. But, you know, I'm sure that every one of us has something deep in our closets that probably very few, if anybody, knows about. Occasionally we are surprised. I don't want to say we bat 1,000, but I say our batting average is pretty good.
Certainly better than average, I will say. If I can follow up with one last question at the moment. You have a good track record with filling districts with over 50,000 students. We are a very large district here, 10th largest in the state. What do you think special qualifications in your mind would be required for a superintendent to do that?
I'm going to share with you, I personally have overseen or personally managed probably 100 of those searches. And at this point, I would be presumptuous if I told you what Capistrano needed. I've got a pretty good idea. I've reviewed your website very thoroughly. I've read some newspapers. I've read your policies and all that. But this is your search, and I would be presumptuous if I told you what you should need. I can tell you two things that I think every superintendent needs, and those are the ability to be an educational leader. And by an educational leader, we're talking about a person that can strategically look forward, establish systems, and knows how to hire people, delegate, hold them accountable, and get the job executed effectively. And secondly, people skills. We've worked with close to 100 boards that have brought us in and said, we're really in trouble with our superintendent. I cannot think of any instance where someone called us and said, this person does not know curriculum, or can't work with human resources, or doesn't know finance. Invariably, it's he or she can't get along with people. He or she can't communicate or lead. And so I could say those are two things that most boards overlook because they get hung up in, can this person execute curriculum? Does he know standards? Does she know how to work with unions, et cetera, et cetera? Those are two things that in our process, we encourage you from day one to look at strongly. Now, beyond that, there are some things that I think are unique to large urban districts, but I'm going to say your urban district, your large district, is different than a lot of urban districts. The makeup of your community is more suburban than urban. Your composition, your success, your student achievement. So, you know, when you say, what are the things in the urban district? You're not as urban as most urban districts we've worked in. You're more like the large suburban districts. We had the good fortune of working Saddleback and Tustin both. And you're, even though you're larger than both of them, you're more their makeup.
Thank you. Trustee Winston.
Hi. Thanks for coming to present to us. Looking at some of the recent placements you've done in California, San Diego City Schools, Riverside, Stockton, way bigger than Riverside and Stockton, a whole lot smaller than San Diego City Schools. Who would be the lead for this search? Would it be Dr. Castruda?
No. Your team that will do the search is here today, the four of us. I will oversee the search and be the manager of the search. Bud Marley, who lives close to you, would be the local contact. Bud and Carolyn will be the California contacts. Doyle and I are going to be your national recruiters.
Okay.
And Doyle has had that large district experience. Doyle, do I share where, what you've done as board member?
Good evening. I served on the Austin ISD Board of Trustees in Austin, Texas for 8 years, 4 years as vice president, and 4 years as president. We're about 83,000 students, about 50% Hispanic and about 35% Anglo, and about 10% African-American, the remainder Asian. So when I first met Bill over 10 years ago, we were when I just come on the board, we had an interim. So our first year was with an interim, and then we hired Dr. Pat Frigione, and we ended up, he's actually retiring July 1st after 10 years. So we were very fortunate to get a, and actually Dr. Frigione is a non-traditional superintendent. He had a major educational background on the federal levels, state level, state superintendent, but never as a superintendent like you know, like Austin, Texas. So it was really it was a really leap of faith on our part at that time to hire a non-traditional. We were in a we're probably at the lowest ebb in Austin, Texas in 1999, as it's been in 25 years. And from there, we ended up within about 5 years after Dr. Frigione, we were named in the top five school districts out of 1,040 in Texas. So it really shows you how a board can turn itself around with good leadership. On the board side as well as on the superintendent side. So it's real important to really find that match. And one of the things that I'm really proud of at this firm is that there are great superintendents, retired superintendents, current superintendents on this team, but also what they've also said is we need to know what does it feel like to be on that side. And I think that's part of the perspective I bring, because I do understand your needs, your pressures, community, students, employees, accountability, federal and statewide. So I understand a lot of what you're thinking. I've sat where you sat. So I think it's really good that it kind of brings that all together with retired, with the superintendents, and looking on the national side as well as the state side. So I hope that I can be that liaison on your side to help make sure that full view of what you're thinking, what your community's thinking, does mesh together, get you the best superintendent.
I was expecting him to tell you that he served on the board of directors of the Great City School Council for how many years?
3 years.
3 years, and so knows a large number of large district superintendents across the country.
So if you're our contact, but you live in Austin?
No, he would not be your... the two contacts would be Bud Marley, your California contact, and I.
Okay.
Doyle will be on the team.
And I understand in this day and age, a lot of the communications are through the internet and all.
Right.
So, but as far as the interviews and that type of thing, I would possibly be involved in that also.
Okay. And as the travel expenses, are they capped in your proposal?
We would be happy to cap them. We've got a lot of experience working in California. We estimated in our proposal that it would be about $5,000, and those are right on target. We would be happy to give you a fixed fee if you want one, and so we'd be happy to discuss that with the board if you should decide to choose us.
Okay. And last question for Doyle. You talked about selecting a non-traditional superintendent in Austin.
That's correct.
What does that mean to you?
Well, that means to me is you have your traditional superintendents that kind of come up through the ranks, and a non-traditional superintendent, the way I kind of look at it, has educational background in some ways. There's also non-traditionals that don't. I mean, there's you're starting to see a lot through the military service, other professions, CEOs that have been maybe top 500 Fortune companies that are now stepping into the educational side. So you're going to start seeing, yeah, we're already seeing that happening. And as I said, in Austin in 1999, that was a real leap of faith to do that. For Austin, Texas, it was amazing because we had a biggest part, as you know, in superintendents, in an urban superintendent, you're looking about 2.75 years as far as a superintendent's life in a school district. To have a superintendent there for 10 years says a whole lot about that superintendent, that those boards throughout. I think he had a total of 23 board members during that 10 years. So it's not like it was just, you know, 7 or 9 board members through 10 years. It was 23. So it's really understanding that leadership and having a leader can do that. And I also believe that a non-traditional superintendent can make a school district strong, as well as a traditional one.
Trustee Christensen.
On that frame of mind, the non-traditional, what sort of search will you have to obtain a pool of candidates that would be non-traditional, that isn't part of the system of superintendents? And you mentioned the one in Houston. What do you think is the percentage of people that you might have placed who were along that lines?
Of the 700 searches, probably about 8 to 10, they've probably been presented in close to 50 searches, maybe more. Whether or not a board sees a non-traditional candidate is not our decision, it's your decision. And if your board said you're interested in seeing both traditional and non-traditional, you'll see both. Most boards do not want to see non-traditionals, and non-traditionals don't fit into certain types of district. If you're under 15,000, generally it's very difficult for a non-traditional to be successful. So that's something, again, as we develop the criteria, if this board decided they wanted to have some non-traditional candidates or would like us to talk about them, we'd be happy to. We do recruit non-traditionals through the military. We've got several military contacts. Most of the military individuals we recruit are individuals who have had leadership roles. For instance, we did recruit the commandant of the Air Force Academy for a position, a former Air Force Academy commandant. Another Air Force general who was in charge of training in the Air Force. Most of the people in the military who are interested in education generally have had some experience in education, but not public education. We also are very active with a group of about 100 companies, and when somebody wants a non-traditional candidate, we work through that network. It really depends how you define a non-traditional. In Austin, they wanted someone who was not a teacher, principal, assistant superintendent, superintendent, and in the pool we had Pat Forgione, who was a teacher but then went to be a state assessment person, and at the time they hired him was with the United States Office of Education and Assessment. So, but that's your call.
Okay, so in marketing that type of a person, or CEOs or something from some firms, how would you market that? I mean, is it through an advertising in Wall Street Journal? Or
no, well, you could do Wall Street Journal. I'm going to share with you, in one firm, we spent the board chose to spend $19,000 against our recommendation advertising the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and New York Times, and I think Los Angeles Times. And we got one eligible candidate through all of that. Very honestly, word of mouth is much more effective, and what we try to do is get all of our networks going. As I said, we've got over 100 associates across the country. They're all engaged with chambers of commerce, with small industry, big industry. One of the things that we're going to be very candid is that most school districts can't begin to afford the caliber of private sector executive that they think they want, because the only time you can afford them is if they're retired and are willing to do it, so to speak, as charity. Because most of these people are commanding $500,000 plus in the private sector. So cost is the prohibitor. The other thing that we found is we've recruited some very good people that would be willing to do it, but then when they found out how they have to operate in the open, your Brown Act and things like that, they just can't survive with that. They're used to the private sector, where they can deliberate most of the major issues behind the scene. If you go after a non-traditional, all these things have got to be worked out with those candidates so that, again, there are no surprises.
Does your fee proposal include whatever you do as far as the advertising or no, I mean, not if we went to some other realm that you just described, but I mean, you have a way of marketing.
Yeah, we recommend a budget of about $6,000 for advertising. Obviously, if you wanted to go into the other areas, that's your option, but that would be at your cost.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Discuss, if you will, the timeline for this project to be up and running and completed.
Well, I'll jump in. In our proposal, we indicated that we probably could have someone here by September 1. That was at the time you were planning to make a decision around May 11th. I think a major factor, I mean, again, at that planning meeting, it's your search. You're going to decide that. We're going to give you one of the things we do at the planning meeting is we show you the constraints, the pluses and minuses of each of the things. I'll give you one of the minuses right now. I don't know how much engagement you want in your stakeholders, your teachers, your parents, even your high school students. As I said, we require engagement of you. Beyond that, we don't know where you want us to go. But at the timing right now, to get them engaged actively at this time of the year becomes pretty difficult. And so that's something we would want to work out with you because of summer vacation. Now, if we could engage the people within the next two to 3 weeks, I think we still could give you a slate of candidates in that August-September framework. But again, that's something that we're going to have to work out with you, and you know, you may decide you want less of the engagement and more of the immediate thrust. That's your call. We don't want to make that decision for you.
One aspect about CUSD is a very engaged public. I don't think we'd have too much difficulty getting our group engaged. Right. Trustee Brick, thank you.
Good evening. I see screening of the applicant or applicants as one of the more crucial issues that faces all of us. We don't want to look down the road and see that we've got a problem. I notice in reading this, you cite the education code and the penal code, but you don't say California. Am I being presumptuous here? We need to look at those. We'll make sure that those bases are all touched.
Yeah, we'll let Bud and Carolyn talk about that.
We begin by looking at the candidates, and we pre-screen all of the candidates. We look at all of the things they give us on the application. We look at those people that reference them. We do reference checks up front before we ever look at a candidate as a candidate. We also conduct a pre-screening interview where we would bring the candidates in ahead of time, talk with them, a semi-interview, a mini-interview. We want to be sure that anyone we bring to you is of the caliber of person that you want to meet, that would match your district. So we do a lot of pre-screening, checking ahead of time before those folks come to you. We have lots of resources, those of us who work in California, both Bud and I, and of course these folks for the national aspect of it. And we've been doing this for a number of years, and so we know people up and down the state and frankly across the nation, folks that we would want you to see. And I want to step back a moment and talk about that. What do we do to make sure that every candidate we bring to you is who they say they are? We've had some instances in our state where some folks have districts have hired someone and the someone turns out not to be who they claimed they were. All of that vetting, we sometimes, and I'll speak personally because I was involved in a search recently, I went back 10 years to follow the career of someone, talk to every place where this person had been to be sure that what I was hearing and seeing was accurate and truthful, because the last thing we want to do is bring you someone who isn't who they say they are. So we spend a great deal of time vetting those candidates, and that pre-screen part of it is very important because we get a sense of who they are. We also tell them at that time, these are all the things that we're going to ask you to do, particularly those background checks. The candidate must submit to that. And we tell them right now, tell us anything that we should know about you. It doesn't mean you're going to be eliminated, but it means the board needs to know about anything that might cause you angst in the process. And so candidates know at that time things are going to come up. The other thing, because we know lots of folks and we talk to lots of folks, it's inevitable that if there is some little something out there that may not have been revealed in this mass amount of searching we do, including this NexusLexis, which might be a foot thick in terms of the kinds of information we'll gain. Everybody's Google these days, so there are just all sorts of things that come up, and we do a great deal of background checking. And I think we've all learned along the way the nuances about what you ought to probe and what you shouldn't probe. And candidates, too, know that if you are not up front with us, if you're looking for a superintendency, you don't want to ever put yourself in a position of not being honest with the folks that could help you find a job. And my esteemed colleague.
The references listed by a candidate would be at most half of the references we would check. As I indicated earlier, I've been here since 1960. So anyone in California, I know someone who knows someone who knows that person. And with our network of associates throughout the country, we can get that close to anyone in the United States. My wife is sure that I'm going to get in trouble someday, and she may be right. When I get a call from a colleague, another search firm or within the firm, saying, Bud, I'm looking at Mary Smith for superintendent in Capistrano Unified, could you see Mary Smith in that role? And if I feel that the answer is no, I say, no, I don't, for these reasons. If, on the other hand, I feel that, yes, I could certainly see her, but I would have these questions, and so I will share those. That's the way we approach the reference gathering. Again, those references listed, at most half of the ones that we actually check.
And Bud hit on a point that's very important. It's not what you know, it's who you know, because sometimes what you know is insufficient, but it's very important to go to the people who we know across the country to learn more about the candidates. And maybe your question, if you were talking about credentialing in California, obviously Bud and Carolyn know all the credentialing issues. Of course, in California, you don't require a superintendent credential, but there are a lot of laws that you need to know, and they are right up to date on all of the laws and requirements.
Thank you very much.
Trustee Palazzo?
This is probably going to be a high-profile search, and you're going to have extensive media coverage. Can you comment on how your firm will work with the media?
Well, we put on blue shirts and blue ties, and and we, again, you know, we work with the media in a variety of ways. But that's going to be directed by you. As I said, this is your search. Many boards ask us to handle the media on all aspects of mechanics of the search, but never reply as to the board's perspective. Some boards have said, Bill, we've seen you work with the media, take care of all of our media. Other boards have said, you know, we've got a media staff, we want our media to handle everything, direct everything back to us. Again, we do it differently on the basis of each school district because, again, this is your search and we want to make sure it's done the way you would do it. This is really your, this is the most important thing you're going to do as a board. The most important thing the seven of you together are going to do is the selection of your next superintendent. And we would be presumptuous telling you to do it our way. Now, what we will do in that planning session, each thing you want to do, we're going to share with you from our experience on almost 700 searches, the probable consequences. And we're going to encourage and recommend you not do things. But if you say as long as it's legal, moral, and ethical, that you want to do it that way, it's going to be done your way. If you want us to do anything illegal, immoral, or unethical, that's where we separate the grounds.
Thank you. I believe that ends our...
Could I mention one other thing?
Yes.
Bill, you have not touched on confidential search. One of the first things that a possible potential candidate will ask is not how much money does it pay, any of those questions that you might think they would. They say, tell me about the board. And they also say, is this a confidential search, or is it the whole thing open to the public, like they do in Florida? It's something, Bill, that I think that, let me get out of the way and let you speak to that, but I think it's very important that this be discussed this evening.
The caliber of candidates you could recruit for a search is immeasurably different if it's a confidential versus an open search. Qualified people who are secure in their current position aren't going to accept an invitation to candidate for a search that's a public search. It's that simple. Would any of you who are well established in your job go public and let your current employer know that you're ready to leave them? So that's really what Bud is saying. Again, that is your choice. We strongly recommend that a search be confidential for that reason. We think Capistrano's kids and the Capistrano board and the Capistrano community deserves the best possible candidates it can get. And we know from experience that the only way to get the best candidates is to have a confidential search.
Thank you. Trustee Bryson?
If I can ask a short question here, in the vein of confidentiality, how can you assure us that the person that you, or the persons you bring forward for us to consider, when, let's say, we choose one of these individuals, there are two things. They come from out of state. A, how would you be supportive with us on bringing that person in from out of state? And B, would you guarantee to us that this person had truly released himself and herself from any binding contract before they were to come here?
Well, number one, before we would bring the board candidates to you as a finalist, we would ensure that they are releasable. And when we talk about a confidential search, before we bring candidates to you, generally, it is a rare case where we will bring a candidate to a board without having that assurance. Now, occasionally, again, with the board's permission, occasionally there's a pocket candidate. And in fact, in Saddleback Valley, they had a pocket candidate when they hired Dr. Gross. And the pocket candidate is someone who says, Bill, I'm interested in that search, I'm willing to talk to the board, but I'm not going to be a candidate for it. And if we know a candidate very well and he is highly recommended, at times, with the board's permission, we will bring a candidate forward without going through the traditional, all the checks, with the understanding that that person would be subject to all the checks if the board should decide through the dialogue to encourage him to be an official candidate. So one of the things that we're going to encourage you, whether you work with us or anyone, we find that the boards that remain flexible generally get the best candidates, that 99% of the candidates are going to come completely vetted, but you don't want to rule out the person who might be the best candidate for your district. When people are well-placed, many times they call the shots. You know what I'm saying? Before there will be a candidate, they put conditions on, and we recommend that you abide by those conditions so that you have an opportunity to see the best possible candidates. But nothing's going to be a surprise to you. You're going to be, it's an open book between us and the board. There's the aura of confidentiality doesn't exist there. The aura of confidentiality exists beyond the board.
If you want other piece of information, we have a real strong motive to be sure that the candidate we bring you can be yours for a long period of time. For one thing, we promise you that if this candidate leaves you within the first year, we'll come back and do the search all over again for expense money. So we'll promise you that we'll do everything in our power to bring you the candidate that will be here for a good long time. And the other part that I think is impressive about this firm is we promise never to recruit your superintendent for 5 years. We don't come back and mine our field again. We brought you this person and we want them to stay with you. That could only be bridged if you were to tell us it's all right, but we don't come back as some firms do and recruit candidates that we've placed within your organization.
We do not have a stable of candidates. We own nobody. We have no allegiance from anyone, be it university or an individual. And so that means that we're completely free to, and Dr. Gross happened to be my next door neighbor. And I was convinced that he was among the select few who would be right for Saddleback. And so on the third time, when Bill and I met him for breakfast at 6:30 one morning, and he agreed, we had worn him down, I guess, he agreed to come talk with the board, and the rest is history.
I do we usually don't correct each other. I do want to make one minor correction. On your proposal, we have given you a 2-year guarantee, or as long as the 7 of you
remain on the board
and are the board that hired the superintendent. We go beyond that and extend that. One of the things that we are going to encourage you to seriously consider is the board training. You are a relatively young board. If I'm not mistaken, four of you are on the board less than a year. I don't know how much training and how much engagement you've had as a board relative to roles, etc. I did read all of your policies. Your policies are a little vague. I think as a young board, you would be well recommended to develop tighter governance policies for the board. I couldn't find the job description for your superintendent, even though you reference it several times in your policy. You may have one, but I couldn't find it on your webpage. You've got a lot of very nice belief statements. One of the questions I would like to know as a search consultant before we move ahead is, are these yours or are these somebody else's? Do you own them? I'm a firm believer that a board has to review their current policy and own the beliefs, own the mission, own the strategic plan, which I don't think you have one now. And these are things that we would encourage you to get engaged in, and if you get engaged in these things, that with us, that guarantee will go longer. Can't remember who it was. It may have been you, Mike, or Larry asked us about how we know if the person has the background, the ability to establish systems. It starts with the board. You know, I'm a firm believer that a district is a reflection of the board. And if the board has good systems, good policies, governance, management policies, structure, believes in continuous growth and continuous improvement, that's going to dribble down to all segments in the district. And one of those things is we're a little concerned we don't see that in what I reviewed, and I may be missing something, and that's something we'd like to talk with you as we go forward, if we were the fortunate firm to work with you. And if those things were put into place, that guarantee could even be extended further. That's all I do want to say. And with that, I do want to thank you. I do want to say I know you have other firms that you're going to see. I understand we're the first. Many times you talk to another firm and they say something and you say, gee, how does Hedges, Young, & Associates feel about that? My cell number, and I am available this evening. I guess you are going to be deliberating this evening, 847-910-0384. That's 847-910-0384. If there are any questions, we'd be very happy to discuss them. And at that planning meeting, again, we'd like to tailor the search to the search you want. It's your search. And be happy to discuss any of the other things that we haven't had a chance to talk about today and make sure it fits into your parameters and what you want done. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a 5-minute break for just a moment. We'll return at 6 o'clock, basically. Thank you.